So let's imagine that yesterday during our work day, those that were working on ladders forgot to screw in all those little metal circle things that are in the lights, whatever those are called. And imagine that as we're sitting here, they just start falling one by one onto your head. Now, I think that you know what your natural reaction would be. You immediately would put your hands above your head as a way to protect your skull from those metal slicers that are above us. We understand that protecting the head is a natural instinct, and that it is an important thing for all of us to do. We see it in all varieties of life. You can think of sports and the way that the head is protected. You can think of self-defense training. You can think about that even within our context of Ephesians 6 in combat and in war. Today we continue our meditation through the armor of God, and we come to verse 17, and we look at the helmet of salvation as our next part of the Christian's armor. Paul says, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, in the context of spiritual warfare, which is our overarching context, we have to understand that we are fighting against the devil, we are fighting against the world, we are fighting against the flesh, and all aspects of the armor of God are useful in that spiritual battle. As we fight, we must have our heads protected. That's why Paul tells us to take the helmet of salvation. Let's take a look at this helmet of salvation, and I'm going to give you two headings or 2 points today. That's just to throw everybody off that thinks that a sermon needs to have a Trinitarian structure to it. We're going to begin this morning with our first heading, the helmet of salvation described. The helmet of salvation described. What is this helmet that the apostle is talking about, and why does he relate it to salvation? Why in Paul's meditations, most likely from prison, as he's looking at centurions that come and go in his life, as Paul's meditating on that uniform that he sees, why does he say, take the helmet and then equate it with salvation? Well, this helmet that is worn by the Roman soldier is a helmet that is made of leather and overlaid with metal. Some are just metal. The metal is given for protection, and the leather is given for comfort. And the Greek word for helmet here is a word that just simply means around the head. That's literally all it means, around the head. So around the head with salvation. And that's exactly what the helmet is. It's something that's worn around the head. Metal that comes over the cheeks to protect the face. And on top of the helmet, if you're imagining the Roman centurion's helmet, is a plume. And that plume is usually dyed red. And in some of the historians, you can read debates over some having yellow and black, but mostly it's a red plume that is on top of the centurion during the first century. So metal all around and cheeks protected, and the helmet comes down sort of like a mullet. If you remember the fabulous mullet, it comes down over the back, and that protects part of the spinal column, the top of the spinal column as well. So cheeks protected, head protected, the back of the head, the back of the neck protected, and then on top is that plume of of red that is signature of the Roman army. So as Paul's looking at this helmet and envisioning this helmet and meditating on this helmet, why does he say the helmet of salvation? You know, there's lots with the mind that he could have talked about. He could have talked about the renewing of the mind and how important that is in the life of the Christian, and made some statement about the helmet being connected to that. But he doesn't. He says the helmet of salvation. Now, I think that our first thoughts tend to drift towards Paul being evangelistic as he's talking about this helmet. Our first thoughts are Paul saying, be justified, be made right with God, be saved, be brought into union with Christ. But this is not what Paul is telling the Ephesian Christians, because we've repeatedly heard through this series, the book of Ephesians, as well as this ending series on the armor of God, we've repeatedly said that if you are not in Christ, if you're not in union with Christ, then this does not belong to you. This armor is not yours if you are not in union with Christ. And the reason we can say that is because this armor is used for fighting the spiritual battles against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if you are not in union with Christ, if you've not repented of sin and found yourselves clinging to the Lord Jesus Christ, then your battle is not with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Your battle is with God. Your enemy is still God, if you are not in union with Christ. That's extremely important to understand. So as Paul says, take the helmet of salvation, he's not encouraging the church in Ephesus to be saved, because he's writing to people that he's already called the church. He's already said they are in union with Christ. So what is Paul saying when he says, take up the helmet of salvation? If he's not talking about their need to be right with God, what is he talking about? Well, one of our principles for interpreting the Bible is what's called the analogy of faith. The analogy of faith. What the analogy of faith says is that when we look at a passage of Scripture, we are to take into account what all the Scriptures say about that particular thing. We also call this Scripture interpreting Scripture. So analogy of faith, or we use the Scriptures to interpret Scriptures. If you were in the last hour in our adult Sabbath school class, we are looking at Matthew 17, and we spent time going to other scriptures to help us to interpret what is going on in the Transfiguration. That's called using the analogy of faith, or using Scripture to interpret Scripture. So we need to think about where the apostle gets this idea of connecting this helmet to salvation. And what does he mean when he does that? Well, we know that Paul uses this language elsewhere, and that helps us to understand what he means by the helmet of salvation. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, you will see Paul say, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. As a helmet, put on the hope of salvation. So Paul elsewhere connects this helmet of salvation with the helmet of the hope of salvation. Paul is reminding us that we are recipients of a great hope because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gospel of Christ gives us a great hope that we use in this world in the context of spiritual warfare. The world, the flesh, and the devil, we come to that with the hope of salvation. And it's always important to remember that hope in the Bible is not like we think of hope today. It's not Paul just saying, you know, I hope that I'm saved, or I hope I'll be saved. It's an assurance, a full assurance of something that is allowing Paul to encourage us to move forward. The hope that Paul is speaking of is a huge help in spiritual warfare. He's telling us to protect our heads, to protect our minds, to protect that hope, that place of assurance of salvation, that security that we need to fight the battles against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Friends, think of the value of assurance as you fight against your enemies. What is one of Satan's great tactics against the church? One of Satan's main tactics against you, even as a believer? It's that rattling of assurance. It's that rattling of hope. It's that slow chipping away at the assurance of the believer. This is one of Satan's great tactics in spiritual warfare as we fight. Satan stands before God as the great accuser of the brethren. Standing before God and even using your name, looking to God saying, did you see brother so-and-so? Did you see the way that he lived his life this week? Did you see sister so-and-so and the way that she denied you in her conversation with that person? Satan standing before God, giving accusation against you, against the church. And maybe even giving those accusations to your mind. You don't really believe this stuff, do you? You don't believe in fairy tales, do you? You don't really live like you profess. The hypocrisy is so great in you. And these accusations come and they chip away at your assurance. They chip away at your hope. They chip away at that hope that you are in Christ, that you are in union with Christ. Those accusations that say, you know, you really don't meet the standard of what a Christian is. And accusation after accusation comes to your mind and your soul, and your assurance is chipped away slowly through the work of the evil one. And as assurance is assaulted, your ability to fight the battles that are before you begin to be replaced with fighting a battle that's only in here or in your mind. You say, you know, you're right. I can't fight these battles out here. I can't fight against the world. I can't fight against the flesh. I can't fight against the devil because I need to just keep thinking, am I in Christ? Am I in Christ? Am I in Christ? Paul says, put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the helmet of the hope, that assurance of salvation. Protect your mind from assaults that the evil one thrusts against you, fighting against your assurance. I frequently will reference Pilgrim's Progress from the pulpit. There's another analogy, another story that Bunyan wrote called The Holy War. And The Holy War is fantastic. And as Bunyan talks in The Holy War, he's talking about a city that's under siege. And the city, in very Bunyan-esque oversimplification, is called the city of Mansoul. Can you figure that out, guys? So the city of Mansoul has different gates by which the evil one, Apollyon, comes and assaults Mansoul, trying to overthrow the king or the prince who lives within the city. And one of those gates is the mind gate. Assaulting the mind. Friends, you know, if you are anything like me, you talk to yourself all the time. You know, you say, well, that sounds crazy. Am I supposed to admit that? The truth is, we are constantly having an internal conversation and giving commentary on our lives. And if that commentary comes by way of assault against your mind, that mind gate to man's soul is being weakened. We must be strengthened in our assurance, in our standing before God. Our confession of faith says, true believers may have the assurance of their salvation shaken, diminished, and intermitted as by negligence in preserving it, in falling into special sin, which wounds the conscience and grieves the spirit, by sudden temptations, by God withdrawing the light of His countenance, and suffering even such fear Him as to walk in darkness and have no light. Yet they are never utterly destitute of that seed of God and life of faith, that love of Christ and the brethren, that sincerity of heart and conscience of duty, out of which by the operation of the Spirit this assurance may in due time be revived, and by the which in the meantime they are supported from utter despair. That means that as these assaults come against your assurance, you are to look to Christ and you are to say, am I in Christ? And as you understand that you are in union with Christ, and even if that light within your soul is dim, you are to keep pursuing. You are to keep pursuing. Keep on the helmet of salvation. You see, we can struggle with hope. We can struggle with assurance. We will be assaulted by the world. We will be assaulted by our own flesh. We will be assaulted by the devil. And all of these will shake that hope, that confidence in the finished work of Christ. And that's why Paul says, take that helmet of salvation. Put it on, church. Look to Christ. Look to His finished work. That helmet is related to hope. But we read from Isaiah that that helmet is related to something else again. Isaiah 59 has the helmet being put on, a helmet of salvation on His head. Whose head was that on? It's on God's head. And specifically of the Trinity, who puts it on? in Isaiah 59. If you have that open or look at the text even this afternoon, it's God looks to his right arm. That's language of Christ. And this helmet is not a helmet where he needs his hope strengthened, but it is a helmet in Isaiah of his victory. This helmet of hope is intended to cause us to grow in our assurance of faith, and our assurance, as we grow in assurance and as we grow in hope, it's not we grow in what we've done or grow as we look to ourselves or we say, you know, I am good enough. Remember the Stuart Smalley character? I am good enough, I am smart enough, and darn it, people like me. We don't grow in that. We grow as we look to Jesus Christ, the one who has claimed the victory. This helmet of salvation is a helmet that causes us to understand even his victory. Your hope as a Christian, part of your battle gear, is not hope that you are good enough. It is a hope that he is good enough. That he is victorious. Friends, you are encouraged here to look up. You are encouraged to place this helmet on your head and be assured of Christ's finished work. Because the truth is that you will never be good enough to earn God's favor. And that's not saying something about you that I wouldn't say about myself, because we're in this together. We are not good enough to earn God's favor. But Christ is. And we look to him. Without looking to Christ, without this hope, we hang our heads, don't we? We can kind of hang our heads in fear, and we hang our heads in shame. And if we're hanging our heads, our heads are unprotected. But the helmet gives us that ability to look up. To look up, knowing that our mind and our soul is protected from the enemy. The helmet is that hope. And it reminds us of that victory in Christ. Now that seems really practical to me. Hopefully that's practical to you. That's not just dogmatics coming from a pulpit. That's something practical for your souls. But I think we can go deeper even in that as we look for more application. And our second heading this morning is going to do just that. The helmet of salvation applied. The helmet of salvation applied. What are some great applications that we can take home as we've meditated on the helmet of salvation? The first application that we can give is that the helmet of salvation gives you boldness in battle. You have boldness in battle. No soldier would think of going into battle without his helmet. The soldier's there in the field, he has no helmet, the fiery darts are coming, there's all sorts of these ancient missiles coming. Arrows. The soldier would be not protected. And the soldier would die. He's got a sword in one hand, we'll see next week. He's got a shield in the other hand that we saw last week. Without the helmet, he's unprotected. There would be no boldness in battle without the helmet. He would just be timid. Not able to run through the fields. Friends, as Christians, you ought to be strengthened in your hope. Be strengthened in your assurance that Christ is the victor. Christ has won the war. Even as battles are happening around us. Grow in your boldness as a Christian. Grow in your boldness as you face the assaults against even your assurance and against the hope that is within you. Our culture will tell us that the culture wars are over and that the church has lost. The devil will tell us that we are not in Christ. Our own flesh will tell us that we are unable to walk according to the ethics described in the New Testament. And if we focus on those accusations, we go without a helmet. If you spend your whole time in fear of a culture that is fast and quickly turning more and more away from Christ, you will become a retreatist. If your whole focus is on trying to be made right with God, and if, friends, if you're not right with God, then let that be your focus. Be made right with God. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you have trusted in Christ and you are in Christ, walk in that. Grow in that assurance. And if your whole focus is that you are unable to live up to some New Testament ethic, and that's your whole focus, you're saying, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to do this. I'm never able to walk this way. When I walk this way, then I will be bold. When I do this, then I will do this. If that is your whole focus, you will remain timid. Because, friends, we will always fall short. We will always disappoint. We will never fully be able to live according to God's revealed will. That's the beauty of the gospel. If we are in Christ, that ethic has already been fulfilled by Christ. Put on that helmet of salvation. Walk in boldness. Be strengthened in that confidence. Another application that we have from the helmet of salvation is that we are reminded and even encouraged in our duty of service. We're encouraged in our duty of service. All throughout the New Testament, we're told that we are one body and that we have diverse gifts and we have different callings within the life of the church, and there's different talents that we have and there's different giftings that we have and there's different areas of life within the church that we are called to do. The helmet of salvation ought to be an encouragement in your duties, in whatever way you're called to serve in the life of the church. You say, well, Pastor Nathan, how do you get that out of a helmet? We get that out of a helmet based on the fact that every one of these soldiers, from the highest rank down to the lowest rank, they're all wearing the same helmet. Last week we talked about the shields and how the shields are used together to create this great force field, as it were, that protected the army you could look around in this ancient army, and no matter your rank, from the highest to the lowest, and I'm not saying there's highest and lowest ranks within the church, I'm saying that within the military there are. But no matter what your service, no matter what your function within the life of the church, every person in that army has the same helmet, showing a unity that is precious according to the scriptures. We're not competing against one another. We are together serving our master. I think this is an encouragement. We are part of the same company of soldiers. Every soldier has the same helmet, the helmet of salvation. Maybe from week to week you sit here and you say, you know, I'm not called to be a pastor, and I'm not called to be an elder, and I'll probably never be up there, and I'm not sure what my place is within the life of the church. Friends, we have different gifts. We have different gifting in the church. We're called to use that together. You see, if everyone in the army just had the bow and arrow, or if everyone had a battle axe, or if everyone was on horseback, or if everyone had stood behind a cannon, or if everyone... See, they're all called to work together. And this should encourage us. Your vocation is for service. That place in life where God has you is so that you can serve the church from there. Every helmet, every brother and sister in this room wears the same helmet, so to speak. Every one of us. And that's true throughout time in the life of the church, all wearing the same helmet. We're part of this together. We're part of something bigger. You know, I think one of the greatest questions that has ever been asked within the church is the question, what is your salvation for? And I think that sometimes we forget that question. What is your salvation for? Because your salvation is about more than just whether you spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And if your answer to my question, and it's not my question, it's a great question, what is your salvation for? If the answer, as far as you can go in your mind, is so that I can go to heaven, you have not dug deeply enough with that question. We are part of something bigger. And the helmet of salvation, as we all wear that, reminds us of that. Why are you saved? The helmet gives you the assurance. The helmet of salvation gives that assurance so that you can move from that point into doing whatever it is that is the reason why you have been given salvation. What is my salvation for? I'm assured in Christ. I have confidence in Christ, and sure, at times that's shaken, and I deal with that, but I move on, I go on, I continue on. What is your salvation for? Ask yourself that question. The helmet of salvation is not so that you can retreat into the Reformed monastery called the study. I wrote that line for myself. The helmet of salvation is not so that you can just retreat into the safety of your family and all that know you intimately. Your helmet of salvation is a reminder that you have a duty to fight this spiritual battle, to be in this spiritual warfare that all of you have been called to be a part of. And that helmet is needed so that you can answer that question, what is your salvation for? How are your gifts being used in the battle? Now, if you were in Trader Joe's, say tomorrow morning you go to Trader Joe's and you take 20 minutes to park and you run in to get your one item. And as you're in Trader Joe's, you see somebody and they're just in normal Southern California wear, little rainbow flip-flops and T-shirt and shorts, and on their head is like this military helmet. You think, wow, that's odd. That looks strange, wouldn't it? Just normal SoCal wear and then like the helmet. You'd think that maybe they were a little off the rocker. But in the context of an army, that helmet doesn't look strange. If it was row after row after row of military fatigues and combat gear and helmet, it wouldn't look strange to you. Because that helmet would be worn in the context for which it was made. You go down to Pendleton, and there's always like war going on in the beach. You're like, there's the Pacific, it's beautiful, and they're having a war. And we don't think anything of it because there's a context. But in Trader Joe's, just the helmet, it's out of context. What is your salvation for? You wear this helmet in the context of spiritual duty. You wear this helmet in the context of spiritual battle. What's it for? Friends, I'm not going to tell you what your helmet is for or what your vocation is within the life of the church. But how will you bring glory to God as you fight these battles that we've called the Christian life? The next application I want to give is for those that are maybe searching for greater assurance. I've mentioned that assurance is a great comfort, and the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us that assurance, gives us that comfort, and it is something that does belong to all those who are in union with Christ. Everyone who is converted, who've trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, and that great exchange has happened where Christ takes my sin and I take Christ's righteousness. Assurance is something that everyone who is in Christ is able to have. And I want you to think of this helmet. You remember what's on top of the helmet? There's a plume. The plume's made of horse hair. It's dyed red. It's beautiful. That plume has a purpose. The plume is a way to say, of saying, as you look out upon this army, that those people, that army, fights on behalf of Caesar. That red plume on the head of the soldier says, they belong to Caesar. As an ancient warrior, you belong to Caesar. And I'm sure there's times in the life of the soldier when he was discouraged and he felt defeated, and maybe even times where he would go off to be by himself, and maybe he would sit on a rock and he would take off that helmet and place it on his lap in discouragement. Maybe he's bloody. And those questions start to flood into his mind. What am I doing here? Why am I doing this? Is this worth it? And sitting before him as that soldier is contemplating why he's part of this, there's that plume that reminds him that he is a soldier, that he is a centurion, that he has been set apart with a purpose. Using another Caesar-related story, I'm reminded of Jesus being asked whether the disciples should pay taxes. It's April 14th. The disciples say, I got a question. Do I have to pay taxes? And Jesus says, well, take out a coin. They take out a coin. And Jesus says, whose image is on that coin? They say, Caesar's. Well, then render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And then it says, if Jesus says, whose image is on you? Maybe he pointed to the person asking the question. Whose image is on you? Then render unto God's what is God's. Friends, if you are in union with Christ, if you have believed the gospel, if you've been baptized, you are marked with ownership. And you are called at times to reflect on that union and to realize this, that you are not your own. You are not your own. You've been purchased, body and soul, by your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And the helmet of salvation, that assurance, helps us to be strengthened in that. In the midst of battles, some of you will metaphorically be beaten up. Look at that plume on your helmet. To whom do you belong? You've been purchased, body and soul, by your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. The helmet of salvation is assurance. It is hope that you are in Christ, and you will find yourself in the midst of battles needing to think on that very fact. I am in Christ. I am in Christ. Friends, find hope in that. And for our final application, think of this helmet in times of affliction. Struggles will come, trials will come, difficulties will come. This is in the midst of spiritual warfare. This is not in the context of, say, a birthday party. This is in the context of war. afflictions come. Be thankful that you are protected. Be thankful that you have this hope in the midst of affliction. The Spirit of God is the one who applies this salvation to your account. He's the one that imputes this righteousness. Friends, He's the one that will keep you as well. In the midst of affliction, you will be kept. Be encouraged by that. You see, the completing of salvation, the applying of salvation, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the work of the Spirit. Be strengthened in your hope. Be strengthened in that assurance as a Christian, because that assurance will be beneficial when affliction comes. And affliction comes. We will grow in assurance as we look to Christ. So, four applications: equipping with boldness, a reminder and duty, knowledge of ownership, and hope in affliction. Brothers and sisters, grow in this hope. Take up this helmet of salvation, even for the glory of Christ. Amen.